This morning I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Last 2 weeks we've been talking about David, and today will be no different. David was the king. He replaced Saul. 2 weeks ago, David had a great idea to build the temple. But God said no, because you were a man of war and you shed too much blood. And that didn't stop David from serving God. He spent the rest of his life preparing all the stuff necessary for the temple. Folks, we should always be working for God. Just like Paul said, remembering without ceasing, we should work without ceasing for the cause of Christ. But when God closes one door, He's going to open another door of service. Last week, when David killed Goliath, that was just the first of the giants, and the giants just kept on coming. And we saw in that the giants keep on coming that there were three more that needed to be killed, and that they didn't want David to go out there and do that because he was the light of Israel. But his other warriors went out and fought the same way that David did and was successful. And the issue is that we can kill the giants if we trust in God. But giants keep us from doing the right thing. Giants keep us from serving God. And God doesn't want giants in our lives. He says you can move this mountain and cast it into the sea. So this story today is David has been anointed king, but he's running from Saul. And he's got a band of men, about 600, that have been following him for some time. And Saul is trying to figure out where David is so he can kill him, because he wants his family to rule Israel. But God has rejected Saul as king. And so David is now held up in a cave called, in an area called Adullam. And he's thinking about home. He's thinking about things that he would really love to be able to do, but he can't because he's running away. And we see three guys today that do something for David that was extraordinary. So the sermon title this morning is Remembering Sacrifices of Love. And we're looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. Before we read our text, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come and worship you. We thank you for the freedom of this country, Lord. We thank you for the freedom that you give us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I just ask that you just help us, Lord, to understand its truth. That you help us, Lord, to follow you with all our heart. That you bind Satan on our behalf. And that, Father, that your Holy Spirit will have full reign here. And that it will change our lives. That we'll leave here different than we came in. Lord, we thank you for all the benefits that you give us. Help us, Lord, to remember those things and not to forget. We ask that you be with this time now of message, that it will change your lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In our text this morning, in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 15 through 19, it says, "Now three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David." Now, 1 Chronicles 11 is a kind of a listing of all these mighty men of David. The story is actually also told in 2 Samuel chapter 23. So these three of these 30 captains went down to the rock to David, into the cave of Adullam. And the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the hold, and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate." And the three break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord and said, "My God, forbid it me that I should do this thing? Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighties. You know, Memorial Day is a time to remember. We need to remember those who sacrificed their all in order to keep us free. But we don't need just to remember them, but we need to remember others. Others that have sacrificed in love to clothe and to feed us. Others that have sacrificed their loves to protect us and to educate us. But today and tomorrow is singularly a day to remember those who died in battle for our country. And so Memorial Day is a time to remember. And here in our text this morning, we see that we need to remember David and his mighty men. These men were loyal to him to protect him from Saul. David had multiple enemies. The Philistines were after him because he killed their champion. Saul was after him because he was going to be the next king. And so everywhere that David turned, there was an enemy there. And these mighty men gathered around him, and they were going to do an incredible thing to go down to get a simple drink of water. You know, they did this because of what David represented. People give their lives in combat because of what this country represents. And I hope our country will still represent those ideals. But these men thought so highly of David that they would give their lives for him. And so we're going to see the sacrifice of love that they did. They visit him while he's hiding out. But then there's other enemies in the land. So this morning, very quickly, I want to show you three things about this passage. First of all, we see the need. David desired water from the well in Bethlehem. See, Bethlehem had been David's hometown. Anybody had been in the military and had gone extended TDY someplace or remote or basically in the service, know that you're going to have to leave your hometown. And you're going to have to leave all those things behind and serve on foreign soil. But you know, David is now not being able to move freely about. And he's dreaming of Bethlehem, where he was born. You know, he had tended sheep on the hillsides. And as you read this and you think about this, there are such striking contrasts between him and Christ. You know, he was tending sheep on the sides of Bethlehem before he was sent to the army and to his brothers. You know, there were sheep, there were shepherds watching over their flock by night. David was from Bethlehem. Jesus' lineage was from Bethlehem. David was going to be king. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
You know, he had been anointed there in Bethlehem by Samuel to be king. And so, you know, when you are alone and you're not home, you start thinking of home. And so David is in this cave. He doesn't have all the benefits and all the luxuries of his previous life there. And he says, I'm just thinking about home. I'm thinking about Bethlehem. And we know that memories are powerful motivators. He remembered the water from the well that he used to drink from. Have you ever been in that point where you say, I wish I could just go back and get some more of that? He's thinking about this. And he longed for a taste of home. I can tell you from my own personal experience, my family's personal experience, we longed for home when we were overseas. I remember when we were in Korea, our kids cried for their swimming pool. He said, why can't we go swimming here? There wasn't, but it was cold in Korea. I want to go back home. I want to go back. We long for home. He says here in the cave, he says, oh, that I could just get a drink from the well that is at the gate of Bethlehem. See, memories are powerful motivators. They reveal a past. The other night we studied out of Ezra. And we know the nation, the history of Israel, that because of their sin, they were taken into captivity by the Babylonians for 70 years. Jeremiah said, you're not going to come back for 70 years. You might as well just have houses and have families and just do your normal thing, because that's where you're going to be. The Babylonians were defeated by the Persians, and Cyrus gives a commandment to the captives that were in Babylon that they could go back and they could rebuild the house of God. And we see that there were three returns of these people. The first one was led by Zerubbabel, the next one was led by Ezra, the next one was led by Nehemiah. And they go back and they start under much duress and much conflict to rebuild the temple. And as they were rebuilding the temple, there were strong memories invoked about this. And in Ezra chapter 3, verse 12, they get the foundation laid. And it says here in this verse, it says, but many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were what? Ancient men. Folks, there's a lot of old people that remember that our country is a lot different than it is now. There's a lot of people that remembered the glory of the house of God that Solomon built. And that was a magnificent temple. And it says here, it says, who were ancient men that had seen the what? The first house or the first temple. When the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, because it reminded them of all the things that had happened. It reminded them of a better time, a time where they could go and worship God freely. And now they see this, the temple that was built, the second temple, was not as big and magnificent as the first one. They may have been crying about that. You know, we lose something as we go forward at times. But it says they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Other people were happy for what they were being able to do. And it says, the next verse says, and there was this loud cry that was noised abroad, and people didn't know, understand why. Because some were weeping and some were shouting. But these men were weeping because they remembered the first temple. They remembered home. They remembered what it used to be like and what they had been through. And so David says, I remember Bethlehem. I remember this. I'm in this cave. I'm running for my life. There's Philistines down in the valley. There's Saul, and he's trying to chase me. And, oh, if I just get a drink, if I just have a little bit of normalcy in my life, if I just have a little bit of reprieve, you know, don't we all long for a taste of better time? Maybe we had that spiritual time where we had zeal for God. We remember that, and over time it's kind of gone away. Do we thirst for a return of better days? Another thing, we were in Korea. Boy, when we were in Korea, the family wanted Bill Miller's. Talked about Bill Miller's. And when I know some of you, that's not barbecue. But compared to Korea, it was a whole bunch different. They had Taco Bell there. Nah. They had Popeyes there. Nah. It didn't taste like home. And I remember when we first came back from Korea and we went to Bill Miller's the first time, the whole family cried. It wasn't that bad. But remember, because memories are powerful motivators. And so David is here, and he's probably crying in the cave for this water. And he has this desire. And obviously other people heard, because they did something about it. So David desired water from the well in Bethlehem. And then David's men dared to risk everything to get him a drink. See, here's the problem. Bethlehem was occupied by David's enemies. On the way there, there's the Philistines, and they had a garrison in Bethlehem. They actually had a fort there. How on earth would you ever get back to what you had before? But if you're mighty with God, you can get there. So we know the story that three of David's captains set out to give him a drink. And you know why? Because they said, our king is worth it. His desire is our desire. We're going to put him first. You see the spiritual connection here? We're going to put him first and us last. And it says, so they put their lives in jeopardy. It says in our passage that they break through. That means that there was resistance along the way. They fought their way into Bethlehem. They defied the fort that was there. They stood guard over the well while they drew it out. And once you had to go in, you had to go back the same way. And now they're waiting for them. And they're fighting their way back. But they looked and said, the desire of our king is worth it. The desire of David, who they will later on call the light of Israel, is worth it. They broke through the lines of the enemy and they brought water to David from the well. Wow. Wow. You know, in Romans chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a what? A good man. Some would even dare to die. And if you know this passage, you know what the next verse says. It says, but God commanded His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's all about love. Those men loved David so much they were ready to risk their lives just to meet David's desire. Oh, folks, do we love that much? Can we love that much? We need to remember about Jesus. Jesus broke through enemy lines. He came through. He gave up heaven to come down and live a human life, to conquer sin, to conquer death, to conquer all the adversity of the enemy, to bruise Satan's head, to win the victory. Oh, we need to understand that. His death and resurrection provides the water of life. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, says, for consider Him, remember Him, that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Oh, when Jesus came down to earth, everybody worshipped Him. No. Everybody criticized Him. He was the king. He was our king. We have no king but who? Caesar. They had no desire for Him. He was born in Bethlehem, and the wise men brought kingly gifts to Him. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest He be wearied and faint in your minds. It says, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Oh, folks, aren't you so glad that Christ died on the cross that we can have freedom from sin?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that Christ died on the cross and was buried and rose again that we could have a home in heaven?
Amen.
He fought all those battles for me. And all we have to do is accept it. Revelation chapter 12, verse 20, 21, verse 6. It said, unto me, it is done. Christ did it. Christ did it. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. A couple of weeks ago, we went through John chapter 4 about the woman at the well. And Jesus meets her one-on-one. And Jesus says, you need the water that I have, not the waters in that well. And we went through in depth and we studied that, how she got saved and she went out to the city and they came out and they got saved. And there was a great revival broke out there where Jacob's well was. See, with Jesus, it's about the water of life. He says, you'll have a spring of water bursting out of you. See, we know that Jesus broke through. He did it all for us. And we should remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. You know, we look at it two ways. We should remember those that have died in combat and their families. The ones that are serving now, they're willing to sacrifice. But most of all, we should remember our Savior who gave His all for us.
Amen.
Who gave His all for us. You know, the reality of it is we're in debt to those who've made sacrifices of love. We owe our freedom today for those who have sacrificed so much and fought here in other lands for that. But we need to understand about Christ. We need to understand about the great deliverer. We need to understand about the King of Kings. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says this: herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I was in the military when it wasn't a good time to be in the military, in the early 70s. And you were spit on and things thrown at you and cursed. But you know something? It didn't stop our dedication. It didn't stop what we were going to do. Look at Christ, who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, who basically said, you're just the agent of Satan. But He yet went to the cross. And then on the cross, as He's hanging there, He says, forgive them, for they what? Know not what they do. Oh, folks, for those who have accepted Him as Savior, we owe Him.
Amen.
We owe Him everything. Paul says, for by the grace of God, I am what I am. Christ came to save sinners, of which I am chief. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are what? We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We're debtors to the King. We need to hear His desire. Are we willing to fight and go through enemy lines to do what God wants us to do? These three were willing to fight and break through the Philistines in order to bring a simple glass of water back to their king. Are we able to do something like that? So David's men dared to risk everything to get him a drink. What are you willing to risk today for your king? Today. Thirdly, David's devotion moved him to make a sacrifice of love. You know, when the water was brought back and David understood the danger that those men had gone through and the fighting that they had gone through, he said, I can't drink this. I'm not worthy to drink what these men have done for me. I don't deserve this. Folks, that's God's grace. You know why those men got through the Philistines? Because God did it.
Amen.
You know why those men got the well water? Because God allowed them to do it. And why did they come back to the cave? Because God protected them there. And David knew that. You know why those guys knew? Why those guys did it? Because David was God's man. He was a man after God's own heart. And they were willing to do it. He couldn't drink the water that was brought to him. So he remembered the cost and he poured it out. And said, this water really represents the blood of these men. Now think of this. You know, we don't see this in the scripture. I don't know if David poured it out in front of the three, or if he went into the temple and poured it out on an altar, or he made an altar and poured it out there. I suspect that he poured it in their presence. Now, think of this. Think of the devotion of these three. They went through all that effort to get that. And then David pours it out in front of them. How would you feel in your flesh? What? We went through all this for you, and then you go do that? Oh, that's what we see today in our country, don't you? People returning from overseas and say, what? We're defending this? No, you have to go to a higher standard, folks. People in the military do it because they love our country, no matter what condition it's in. These did it because they loved the God of King David. And they were willing to do whatever it could to please David and therefore to please God and to show themselves strong. They understood what David was doing here, and they worshiped the same God. And he said, that's okay. We did it for the right reason. And folks, don't get all upset that people are going to be honored with you and everything else because of what you do for Christ. We need to wait to the other side and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We don't get a reward of men. We get a reward of God. And so these men, I'm sure, because they understood what David was doing in honoring God, they said, we honored God too. And it was okay. They never left him. They were captains of his army. Eventually, David comes up to 1,300,000 man army. And these guys were the leaders in it. And these guys were leaders in it. My question is this. Does the memory of sacrifices of love move you? Does the memory of sacrifices of what your mom and dad do move you to honor them? Kids? The memory of our servicemen and women that do this, does that move us to do something for them? But most of all, does the memory of what Christ has done for us move us to serve Him? We need to understand that the sacrifice of Christ should affect us. It should affect us. The sacrifice of His captains moved Him to sacrifice. What will the sacrifice of Christ do to move us to do something? It should cause us to change. This morning is a short message. But the point is that we need to remember sacrifices. And remembering sacrifices of love ought to change us. It should give us at least a different way of thinking. And if you do have a different way of thinking, it should give you a different way of action. I'll close with this scripture. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the what? And the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We are debtors to Him. Not to live in the flesh, but to live for Him. His desire should be our desire. And we should do whatever we have in us in order to make that happen. This should cause revival in our lives, folks. This should cause motivation to do something for God. That's lasting. So one day, maybe we would be remembered too. And that we will be remembered by Christ. Let's stand.